Thank you, everyone, for joining us or sticking around after our, I'll turn my camera on.
It's invisible.
There we go, here I am. Thank you for sticking around after our town hall meeting. I'm going to call our meeting to order now. And if we could start with a pledge, what time is it now? 7:04, call me to order 7:04, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I will ask for public comments, but since we pretty much exhausted everything, I'm assuming we don't have any. Once, twice, three times? Beautiful. Okay, previous minutes.
No, we're gonna have to table them at a technical issue downloading the files.
So you're making a motion to table minutes?
Yes, please.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you.
Any discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passed. Head of school report, Mr. Pappas.
Let's see. I'm going to try to share my screen. There we go. And there we are. Okay, so couple updates over here. We are still working on hiring special education teachers. This has been a consistent area of focus for us.
Yep.
For this particular school year, there are 4 vacancies left. There are 3 in high school and 1 in the middle school. We do have them filled right now with substitutes, but we do want to continue to focus on getting that. There are a lot of different avenues that we're using to help.
Another year of coursework after like she thinks I have that you live in front of the screen.
Can we unmute yourselves, please?
We're trying.
I was trying to mute them. It was a couple.
All right. And so anyway, we are doing a lot of outreach for that specifically to try to make sure that we hire those positions. In fact, this afternoon, we even had a conversation with a recruiting company out of Florida to try to see if they can get us a couple conversions as well. It is something that's been a little bit of a difficult situation for us. That said, we do have it staffed at the time, and we are working diligently to be able to add as much support as we can to that particular system. There may be some other things that we're doing for that specifically in terms of overhauling our system and our approach to provide a little bit more support. Part of it is adding more paraprofessionals, but part of it's also reimagining the way that we're using our resources in order to be able to meet the need temporarily until we get the rest of our long-term needs taken care of. I would like to note that much of the need that we have in special education has occurred as a result of increased enrollment of special education students within the organization, which added 3 more units to our unit count, and which is exactly the amount that we are currently short. And you know, as people enroll in the school doesn't have the ability to be able to predict what the different needs are of the students as they come in. So as we find out this information, we then have to react and try to make sure that we're adding staff accordingly. And so we can continue to look at that, and we look forward to having all of this handled as soon as we possibly can. But please know that both our hiring managers over here and everybody that's working behind the scenes is sending out every single feeler to see who we can get in here to help us meet the needs of all of our learners. That being said, like Dr. DeMeo has told us as well, these individuals are being serviced and they are receiving their minutes, and we do have a specific plan in place right now to make sure that they are receiving the minutes that they're supposed to be receiving and that the hiring continues to move forward.
I'm sorry, just so I'm clear, that is happening with substitutes to ensure that they're getting their...
There's long-term substitutes, and there's also people that we have hired. There are people that we have that are in the process of getting into programs as well for us. And so, and we do have ways of offering minutes that allow for us to be able to do it perfectly, legally, and correctly. And Dr. DeMeo can explain more if you like.
Also, I believe with our high school and middle school substitutes.
Can you come up closer to the microphone?
Sorry.
Stephanie, can you come up closer to the microphone so they can hear you online, please? Sorry. Just because they can't hear you.
That's fine. So I have been meeting, not weekly, bi-weekly, with our substitutes at both the middle and high school to help kind of mentor them, to go through some of the interventions we have. They have received copies of the IEPs. I've been going over any questions they have with them and then supporting them in that. As far as the IEPs, we've been supporting the writing of that. I've kind of taken on some of those 60 days and been writing all of those IEPs based off of the ESRs and the information from the previous IEPs. So we are giving them support to help manage and understand the needs of the students.
And as of the students that we're adding right now, how quickly are we getting those IEPs out to staff?
As quickly as they come in. So sometimes other schools are not as easy to track down. We've been wanting to district people to try to get some of the IEPs we do not have. So as soon as we find out there's a student with an IEP, we reach out, we ask for a consent to release, we ask them to send over that information as soon as we know.
On average, how long is it taking?
Depends on the school, depends on the district. Mostly it's taken maybe a week, and that was in the beginning of the school year. In the beginning of the school year, Christina wasn't open yet, so it was a very hard time finding people, and even at the district office, it seemed to be some of the times when people took their vacation. But we've been getting them quicker. We're able to look up in Delsis where they've been before, and I've been supplying that list to all of our ADs as well, too, to make sure that we can reach out to the schools.
Thank you, Dr. DeMeo. Thank you, Dr. DeMeo. We have talked about this before as well. We had the onboarding process here at OCS this year has undergone a complete revamp, part of which has been welcoming some of our Greek teachers in from Greece and having an entire welcome committee do that. And I'd like to thank all of the people that were involved in that, including Dr. Lukaku, who spent countless hours with these individuals and Zoom calls and phone calls and stuff like that. And we're part of committees that caravaned and brought people in. We had people within our organization that housed individuals, and we had a very organized approach to how we were able to welcome our Greek teachers, and I have met with all of them, and I know that a lot of them are very happy with the way that we've been able to bring them on board, which is great. I'd also like to add that part of our new committees has also been our advisory council. Our parent council already met once at the end of August. We are meeting again tomorrow for our second meeting. And we will be talking about financials of the organization tomorrow. And then after that, we'll be talking about some action items and electing a couple officers, like a secretary and things of that nature. So we're really excited to continue to move forward with our parent council.
How did your first meeting, how many people were at your first meeting?
I don't remember, but it was a lot. It was a significant amount. It was a very good group. I know Ms. Bonet's not here anymore, but she would be able to answer specifically. It was a good 20 people that were there. It was a nice group and good representation of the whole program.
What time is that meeting tomorrow?
So 1:30.
I think it's 1:30.
1:30 to 2:30.
Mm-hmm. Past that, we also have, we talked about some of the grant submissions, and we've already announced this. Odyssey Charter did receive the charter school expansion grant for $750,000. So congratulations to Odyssey for getting that grant. We also will hear back from the YAS grant at the beginning of October to find out if we are a quarter finalist. Fingers crossed on that. And then the opportunity grant, we should hear back pretty soon, right? Like the end of September?
That we
got. Okay.
Yep.
So I don't have an update that for that yet, but I know that we got a significant grant in that department as well. The code of conduct has been updated. It's gone through its lawyer reviews. It's with the board. It's been with the board for I think six or seven days, right? Mm-hmm. Anna Maria?
Yeah.
So it should be ready to kind of vote on at this point, I'm hoping. From the culture focus, there's two things I want to remind everybody on. Number one is we have open house October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. In our town hall today, some folks asked about like the programming, how you can find out about the programming that we have. Open house is a wonderful place to do that. So we have open house for all of our grades. That's a shift for Odyssey Charter. I guess in the past, it's been specific target grade levels. This time, open house is K to 12. At October 22nd from 10 to 1. Should be a festive environment. There should be a lot of fun things going on. And we aligned a game that day too. So our kids will be competing as well. So we should have a lot of fun things going on. Back to school night is September 28th and 29th. We encourage all families to attend back to school night. It's a wonderful opportunity to find out more about our programming and about meeting teachers and taking a look at, you know, where their kids are and where they sit and all of that wonderful things that happen at back to school night. So please, please, please do attend that as well. I'm sorry, I'm speaking quickly because I'm trying to keep things really, really impacted here. And a lot of these things are district-wide initiatives. I'd also like to talk a little bit about the high school. The annual Chromebook agreements, $25 Chromebook insurance agreement must be paid at the start of the year. So we're asking families to do that. We've already spoken about the school night. I'd also like to announce homecoming is on its way. That's on the week. Homecoming week is the October 10th through the 14th. It culminates in the dance. The dance will be at the Mill Creek Fire Hall from 7 to 10 p.m. on the 14th. Our tickets will go on sale very, very soon, October 3rd. Quick recognition, high school recognition. Congratulations to junior Carlos Arriaga. Carlos was selected a College Board National Recognition Program awardee and has received the National Hispanic Recognition Award. This award is earned because of his strong academic achievement as well as his outstanding performance on PSAT exams. Congratulations to Carlos. Well done. School priorities. Our top priority right now as we come into the last 9 days of September is the enrollment of the school. Currently, our enrollment count as of today sits at 2,099, with our target being 2,133. The approved charter amount is 2133 with 5% allowance above or below that amount. At this current time, we have sent out mailers for the 9th and 10th grade because we've added seats for 9th and 10th grade, and those mailers have gone out. And I can also say that I've already heard back that some people have received them. So I do know that they went out and they've been received. Billboard ads and radio ads are for open house are being finalized. And I think in the beginning of October, I think we said, right, those are going to go out October 2nd. Yes, those are going to be going out.
I think in previous updates and stuff we had that the amount was 2143.
Yeah, that's the budget amount.
Yeah, that's the budget amount.
That's not the charter renewal amount.
The charter renewal amount is 2133. So currently there's still 38 that are invited pending acceptance. So we are actively working that list to try to convert them as quickly as we can. That being said, you know, and it is our hope that we can continue to do what we did in the last 9 days, and all of this movement will end on September 30th. I do want to note for folks and families and the community at large that may not know about this, Delaware enacted a law this year on July 1st that allowed for people who, individuals and families who were on wait lists to renege on their commitment to their school and go to another school where they were on a wait list. This has caused an unexpected and insurmountable, quite frankly, amount of movement within our enrollment process. It is something that all of the schools are dealing with, but it's probably the largest in the larger schools, obviously, because it magnifies the problem at a higher level. And as the second largest charter in the state, that clearly is going to impact us quite a bit. In terms of our first data analysis, it does seem that that problem is coming to the tune of about 10%. We'll be talking about that moving forward as we come up with a strategic plan for next year, but it means that our projections have to have at least 10% of leeway in them in order for us moving forward to be able to hit these targets, unless something changes again and we decide to do that. I have spoken to some folks in small groups about trying to speak to our legislators about at least putting a cap on this to stop this jumping by August 30th. Because it's, in my opinion, in my estimation, it's highly inappropriate to have people jumping schools on September 21st. I think by that point, we should have already settled down on schools.
Well, I think most schools make these decisions in April and May.
These are not school decisions.
Used to have that, because I remember when we came in, that was one of the things we had to make a decision, and that was it. So we need to put some parameters in place and decide that this is going to be our drop dead time, I think instead of, I mean, because it's not going to change. Legislators are cracking down a lot, so we need to be very realistic, and we need to internally have our own stuff in place and make some tough decisions on how we're going to operate in the future. This is difficult for everybody to keep adding students at this last moment.
Yes, and it's something that every single public school in the state is dealing with. It is not just an Odyssey problem at all.
No, regular district schools deal with it all the time. It's really only impacting charters. So what I'm saying at this very moment, as far as Odyssey is concerned, we have to make a decision. We need to really have this conversation for next year's start so that we are prepared for something like this with these shifts and changes. People are going to make decisions based on information that is released. And that happens a lot of times over the summer and in different scenarios and settings. We really need to have a real discussion. It doesn't have to be right now at this time. We can have a separate meeting about it. But I think we really need to make some decisions to ensure that we are not in this crunch again. Because I know as a former educator, getting kids in your classroom, I mean, I used to get kids in my classroom in February and March because we were in regular schools. But that's not normal for a charter school to get a child that late in the school year. It's not fair to our educators. That's the point I'm making.
Can I ask, Helen, when you say April and May, we have to have this cut, are you suggesting that we say after April or May, if you haven't already committed, you're not allowed in? Is that what you're saying? Or
I'm sure I have it in my email. When I applied here and we were on the wait list, when we got the notification that our spot was available, we had a certain amount of time that we had to respond back to Odyssey Charter School.
That's still the case. With the choice system.
That's not what changed it. What changed it is there's an allowable clause now that before was not the case. When you signed a commitment before, you were tied to that commitment, and the charter school did not have to let you out of it, period. That's 100% the fact. July 1st now, as of July 1st, you can hop around to wherever you want all the way till September 30th. That is a new thing that's in place. This is not something that happened last year, and we did not have this problem last year.
It is something that was announced last year. I was a part of that conversation, so that much I know. So we knew this was coming last school year.
But we don't know what impact it's going to have until you are in it. There's no way to predict the percentage of students who are going to defect at a specific time based on that, and there's no way to predict what schools are going to have different demographics that are coming in within that. You're talking about a moving target that's moving so fast. On a daily basis, we have fluctuations of up to 2% on a daily basis within our enrollment. Influx and efflux and influx.
I get that.
So if you were to put a cap on something in May, we would be 20% below enrollment targets in September.
So what I'm saying is, again, I want to plan for next year. That's realistic. Because right now we are at numbers that are really looking like we're just letting people in to hit a number. That to me is not a comfortable place for us to be sitting as a board, especially when we have to start talking about making financial decisions, when we're making announcements out to teachers that say there's budget concerns and budget constraints, and it's making it look as if we were not prepared or even having these kinds of discussions before.
Well, it sounds like we have information now from this year that we can use.
It was information provided last year.
No, but we didn't know it was 100%. We didn't
know. I understand that, but it was information provided last year.
So my point is, now we knew it was going to happen. We didn't know what it was. Is it 2%? Is it 20%? Nobody knew. No one could have known that. I totally hear you on the need to be planning ahead, and it sounds like we have the information now that starting for next year, we understand where we need to recruit, how we need to recruit, how we need to sell, when we need to do it ahead of time. Would you agree? Like you have better data points for next year.
But there's always going to be something, and I don't want to dwell on this right now. But I will remind everybody that in our initial modification, we had suggested there would be two kindergarten cohorts added. We took that off the table. That's 46 students. We are 30 short. We hit our enrollment targets once again. It has nothing to do with the process that we use to enroll the school. It has to do with making very tough decisions along the way, which we willingly were ready to do so that we could make sure we can keep our program as high quality as we can. And that minor modification, as we all recall, did not go through until the beginning of May. So there was nothing that could have been planned ahead of time when you don't know that you're going to be approved for something until May. That's what causes that. Those are two big strains on the system. And then you add that to the fact that this regulation changed and you caused quite a disruption to the system. I might also add that within the budget, we have built-in redundancies that very well could cover the entire amount of any shortfall. So yes, when we were planning this, and yes, when we thought about this, the entire step along, every step along the way, we did plan for a possible rainy day situation. And we can get into that at another time, but we are not in a position where we feel like we're gonna have to make very difficult financial decisions moving forward. We are gonna hit our enrollment targets to the best of our ability, but we will be able to meet our budget demands as well.
And to your point about the two cohorts of the kindergartens, well, it's not that we didn't approve them, it's that feasibly we weren't going to be able to staff them. So I think we all agreed that that wasn't going to work at that time. And that's why we all agreed that that it wasn't going to be a good fit. So it's not that we don't want to add, because I think we all agree that that's where we want to add is in that lower area. But at the time we were having staffing shortages, trying to find teachers. So I think we need to make sure we understand that if we want to grow the school from the bottom, but at the time it wasn't
appropriate. Well, and part of the timing too, when the minor modification was approved through CSAC in May 3rd, you're after the choice,
right?
The whole choice process. So having that fresh start for school year 23-24 will be advantageous all around, because we'll be able to make that decision now ahead of November 1st when the choice window opens.
And this all ties into the strategic planning too. We'll tie this in and make sure that we're all
right
on the same page.
I would also like to add that, you know, for the high school, this was incredibly impactful, because we had a very, very specific group that we had anticipated coming in. And it came, you know, by the time we got to now, we're 20 less than that. And that adds more to the problem. And all of that is the result of this, you know, people that had signed on and committed to us that decommitted and went somewhere else. It's a problem that obviously it's very disappointing that it's the case, but we definitely have learned quite a few things as a result of it.
Once we learned something.
And we had 200 kids do that?
No, in the high school, I had 20 kids.
No, I mean, but campus-wise, we had 200 kids. I'll
give you more data, but it's daily.
There will be a significant sort of post-mortem type of reporting that will try to understand the details of kind of what that attrition led to.
I think it's probably more. That the total influx and efflux is probably even higher than that.
When will we get this data?
As soon as we can close the window, which is the 30th of September. And then we can start crunching.
For the next board meeting.
Yeah, I don't see why we wouldn't have that next board meeting.
So you said you added seats to 9th and 10th grade. How many?
Well, we're not adding seats. We're recouping seats that,
okay, have been
vacated as a result of it. So we reopened the enrollment for 9th and 10th. So next topic from our CIA, the Amplify curriculum. I did get a chance to go see it in action, and it is looking pretty good. I'd like to congratulate our teachers on the way that they are implementing it. I did attend the training session for that as well, and that is starting to move through pretty well. It just now started, so it's a brand new program that we are implementing for that. On October 7th, K-5 teachers will have a virtual check-in with a representative from Amplify to see how that is going. Our coaching is coming along quite well. Our coaching includes observations, planning, classroom management, assessments, best practices, and additional supports. As a reminder, we did shift the focus of our curriculum instruction and assessment team to be very doubling down on instruction and instructional support, which is already reaping benefits in terms of what we've seen in the classroom. I think it was yesterday. Yesterday we did classroom visits, right? I did classroom visits with Dr. DeMeo and Dr. Lukaku and the intermediate school staff, and we went to 17 classrooms and saw absolutely phenomenal instruction in all 17 classrooms. Congratulations to the intermediate school staff for that. We're going to do our walkthrough for lower school on Friday to see how that's coming along and what that looks like instructionally, but I'm very confident to say that the instruction at Odyssey Charters Intermediate School is nothing less than phenomenal. Very, very good instruction. Really, really proud of the team. Star testing has been rostered. A 30-day window starting September 19th has started for this, so we're starting to get some of that benchmark data coming in very soon for that. PSAT 8 and 9 and PSAT 10 and 11 is scheduled for October 12th, this year. We're also going to be piloting a digital version, I believe, in November. We're going to try a digital version of the SAT as well. Alice training, as we talked about before, has already occurred once on the 16th, on September 16th, and we have the second group coming up on October 6th, and then we'll have the entire staff trained with Alice training at that point. The financial updates I'm going to leave to Mr. Koss. Transportation, you know, Evan talked about this already, but overall, you know, we're settling into to kind of our groove for this. Switching buses or riding bus without knowing is a safety concern for both the rider and our ability to know where students are. So we're really asking the students stay in the buses that they're assigned to, and we're stressing that. If you want to make a bus change, please do so and give us 72 hours notice so that we can try to take care of that. If the where's the bus app isn't working for you, or you're following the wrong bus, email or call the school and we'll try to get that fixed for you. From our student services, we already talked a little bit about some of the special education pieces. As of the 16th of September, there are currently approximately 180 special education students, not including speech IEPs. Of those, 115 are basic, 29 are intense, and 4 are complex. As we complete the 60-day evaluations and the IEPs, those numbers may increase, and I increase our numbers as we head into the September 30th count. The Parent Council for Students with Disabilities that's put together on the 11th of October, we have the Welcome to Special Education. And then on December 13th, we have Navigating Your Child's IEP. February 23rd, Best Practices. And May 25th, A Transition to Life, to Adult Life. So keep those dates in mind as we move forward with that. IT update, all grades from 1st to 12th have received their Chromebook devices or whatever devices they're using. Facilities, we have received the donation of 80 student desks and chairs, which is awesome, and we are already putting those into place to help supplement some of the stuff that we're doing in terms of our enrollment. We are working on the HVAC systems. We do have a couple that keep going out. It's like we fixed two go out, but pretty soon that should be less of a problem as the weather starts to change. Food service, we'd like to thank all the families that have filled out their meal benefit forms. If you haven't done so, please fill one out as soon as possible. The forms can be found on our website under the food service tab, and you can forward it to Ms. Wolanski. Please note that a new form is required every single year. That is the problem. Some people think that's only a one-time form. It has to be renewed every year. Forms do not carry over from year to year. Also, any balances that your child has pre-COVID are still owed to the school. You can check your account online at myschoolaccount.com. The money in parentheses is the negative balance that needs to be taken care of. Any questions, please reach out to Ms. Wolanski at her email address. Fundraising, I'm going to talk about just a couple things. We're in the process of hiring a development specialist that will complete, coordinate, and administer future events, solicitations, and administrative functions. We did talk about the Under the Stars event. You'll hear some financials from Mr. Koss on that. We are tentatively planning Gala 2.0 for May of 2023. And we are announcing that we are continuing our partnership with the Philadelphia 76ers and finalizing the details on the fundraiser that's going to happen on November 2nd against the Washington Wizards. The success of last year's event will be built upon, and we're with varied price points. We have lower price points this year, and we have an accompanying raffle. The goal is to raise $10,000 for the school. So more details on that is forthcoming. And that is pretty much it from that department. Board approvals. As I just mentioned, Greek Heritage Night for Odyssey Charter School at the 76ers game is scheduled for November 2nd. And then we're asking board approval to begin the process of recruiting interested in students for the program titled American Exchange. It's a AEP program for high school. We also have Meredith Hooper, who's going to be going December 1st to the National Council for Social Studies Conference. That's in Philadelphia. We have a fourth grade field trip on March 15th and March 22nd to the Museum of the American Revolution in Philadelphia. We have a seventh grade field trip to the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia. We have a sixth grade field trip, end of the year trip at the Philadelphia Zoo in May of 2023. And we have a sixth grade field trip to the Lincoln Financial Field House in Philadelphia for their green initiative in late October. psychologist ADOS training at the University of Minnesota, driven to discover permission to attend this conference, which is needed to support the evaluation process for compliance and best practices for students who may be eligible for autism classification as it pertains to the Delaware state regulations. Are there any other approvals that we have on here? No, those are quite a few. We have quite a few approvals this time. Trying to get them to you a lot earlier. Okay, that's pretty much it from my lens.
I move that we approve the out-of-state travel as presented by the administrator a moment ago.
I second that. Is there any discussion? Any questions about the out-of-state travel? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Question passed. Fun. Sounds like it's really great for us. I think we're going to move around. We have a special guest, so let's take care of him before we get back to the lab, if you don't mind. Introduce yourself.
Good evening. My name is Tim Sawyer. I'm with Barbara Cain Thornton and Company, which is your audit firm. I'm the audit partner that is on your, we're in charge of your engagement. And I'm here to present the audit results. Now, these are draft statements that I'm going to kind of highlight a little bit about. But at this point, I forwarded a draft copy to Jeff, who's gone through it. We don't anticipate any major changes, maybe some slight classification items within the statements, but I think overall your bottom line is not really going to change much. And we're doing this obviously in order to get you so you can approve the audit so we can go ahead and submit it to the state by the September 30th, October 1st deadline, with October 1st being a Saturday. So yeah, you get to the third this year, but our hope is to have everything in by Friday. So with that, we can go over a little bit. You can go ahead. Here's your This is your statement of net position. So just kind of quickly touching on this, because obviously one of the big items that we always end up talking about as part of the audit on your statement of net position, this is what we refer to as your government-wide statements. They're full accrual, meaning all your capital assets, all your debt is on here. And as part of the debt, several years ago, the Government Accounting Standards Board had added a statement that said you needed to pick up your portion of the net pension liability from the state's plan. And then a couple of years after that, they issued another one that said you had to pick up your portion of the other post-employment benefits plan. So we had to put some huge liabilities on your statements, which conversely drives your deficit net position on here. And we like to always point out that, you know, those are items that aren't in your control because they're administered state plans. This year, though, the net pension liability last year was about $7.7 million. And because of the way the markets and all had performed over the last year, which was pretty good, it actually flipped and it is now a net pension asset of $6.7 million. I don't know if it'll stay that way. Probably, you know, flipped back to a net pension liability last year, but that's a big swing in the statements. And the net OPEB liability went from about $55.5 million down to $53.7 million. The differences there are the state pension plan for pension plans, at least in this the tri-state area, is pretty good. It's been typically around 87% funded in past years. Obviously this year it's over 100%. And then the OPEB plan is a pay-as-you-go plan. So it was only like 4% funded. So that's why the huge liability there. But again, those were items that you couldn't control and that the state's eventually going to pay. But by the accounting standards, we were forced to put them on there. But at least we flipped the one this year. Then just to kind of give you a little bit of a taste of what the audit entails and give you a couple of quick touch points. So we did perform the field work this year. It wrapped up around August 16th. And then what happens after that, we start to go through, well, one, we're waiting on several pieces of information from the state. We're waiting for those valuation reports for the pension and the OPEB plan, contribution reports for those plans as well, for some of the calculations we need. And then the state cash reconciliation, just to make sure that the state has enough cash to cover the appropriations that you have with them. Then when we get all those reports in, and this year we got the last one in on August 31st. So in September, we start working through the process of where we make the final calculations, prepare the financial statements, go through the draft process of review, and get everything ready for submission. Based on our audit, though, and all that work that we've done, we are getting ready to issue unmodified or clean audit opinions on all your different opinion units. So that's the highest that you can get there. As far as the audit itself goes, what we kind of do is we test, we look at your internal control structure, we look at cash receipts, cash disbursements, and payroll, and how your internal controls for processing those transactions work. As far as some of the revenue work, we provide, we send confirmations to other school districts just to get them to confirm what your tuition per student is and what they've allocated over to you for the students that come from those districts. And then we do other testing on the debt as far as confirming debt balances and all like that. Also, as part of the internal control, we did look at expenditures this year a little more in depth. So we did a sample of your expenditure transactions. And in that sample that we selected, we noted no issues. So your internal controls are operating as they are designed and are effective. And at this point, like I said, we help with preparing the financial statements. We anticipate, submitting the statements to the state by the September 30 deadline. We have a couple of charts just to kind of give you, dive into that statement of net position a little more. So we're comparing your balances from 2022 to 2021. You can see your cash, pooled cash and investments went from 8.7 million up to 10.3 million. Your capital assets net of depreciation went from 36.5 million down to 35.8. And that's normal because if you were never to add any more additional assets, that number would go down each year by the depreciation, which is depreciation takes what the asset costs and allocates the that price over its useful life. So for instance, the cost of a building that's amortized over 40 years, so 140 of that would come off of that every year for the building. So if you don't add any more assets, it'll continue to go down. Your accrued salaries and related costs went from 2.9 up to 3.2 million. So that's basically your summer pay for the teachers and the related costs. And then your bonds and note payable went from $35.6 million down to $34.6 million. Your fund balance, this is more looking at when we were talking the statement of deposition for accrual. Fund balance is derived at modified accrual. So then we take out those capital expenditure assets come off the books as well as your debt, and any payments for those become expenditures during the year. So the fund balance kind of is a little more in tune to what you see in your monthly financials, just adjusted a little bit for some receivables and payables. But overall, your total fund balance went from 5.8 million up to 7.6. So that's always a good judge to see how your finances went for the year. And your unassigned fund balance went from 2.7 up to 4.4, 4.5 million. So that means that you don't, anything that's not reserved, you have to use for any purposes to operate the school. You do have two restrictions. One is shown here is the school facilities. And the other one is your debt, and they both remained about the same. The school facilities there are about 300,000, 400,000, and the restricted for debt was about 2.7 million each year. This chart just kind of points out those big pension and OPEB liabilities again, and we can see we went from 7.6 of a liability on the pension side to a $6.7 million asset, while the OPEB liability still exists at about 55.5 million down to 53.7. As part of the audit, when we're wrapping up, just to kind of take a look, we go over your financial framework just in case there's anything that needs to kind of be pointed out. Overall, I would say your financial framework looks pretty good. Your current ratio, unrestricted days cash, enrollment variance, and debt default are all meeting the standard. Of course, that default, you're not in default, so that's really a non-applicable standard. Your total margin, debt to asset ratio, cash flow, and debt service ratio are all pretty good. Actually, as part of the review, when I was going over this with Jeff, we noted a double up in part of the calculation for the debt service ratio, and your revised debt service ratio is 1.18. So you would actually be meeting the standard column for that. So I'd say nothing to be worried about there on the financial frameworks. Then the last part here is just a summary of our required communications, which of course is part of why I'm here tonight. With that, you know, like I said, we issued unmodified opinions. You did implement a new GASB standard this year, GASB 87, which deals with leases. So now some of your leases used to be operating leases where you would just expense everything. They're kind of saying, well, a lot of your operating leases, if it's for vehicles or buses or copier equipment, for example, are really a financing transaction. So you should recognize that asset and the liability for that lease on your financial statements as an asset and a liability. So that's what GASB 87 did, so we've done that. Other than that, there are no significant accounting policies or controversial areas where you're doing something accounting-wise. There were no uncorrected misstatements or any other misstatements that we've noted in the audit. And as I mentioned before, the internal controls, we didn't detect any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in your internal controls. And then lastly here, the big one here is the second bullet on this page, which is the fraud and legal acts. And I'm happy to tell you that based on our audit procedures and our testing, we are not aware of any fraud or legal acts here at the school or any issues with any of your federal programs grant-wise. So we did do a single audit as well for your federal programs because you were over the $750,000 threshold there and we had no issues. So that kind of gives you a brief overview of the audit. Everything, you know, seems to be going well. I think the last 3 years we've done the audit, I think everything has gotten a lot better, both from an audit standpoint, you know, financially and procedural wise here at the school. So I think you're moving very well in the right direction. Anybody have any questions?
Anybody have any questions? Any questions? We are accepting the draft audit.
Submitting the final.
Okay. So with the debt service change, right? That's it.
Yeah, that was just financial framework. So that's right. Not actually in the reports anywhere. Okay. So. The financial framework is something that Jeff has to submit along with your academic ones at the state reviews.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to accept and submit the final, when available, final audit report for FY 2022.
Awesome.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, motion's passed unanimously. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Great job. See you next year.
Yes. If anybody does have any questions, let Jeff know. Get them to me. I'll get you an answer.
You'll be the first. Don't worry.
Have a good night.
Thank you so much. Okay. Now we're going to jump back to Dr. Joanna, so she can give her brief. Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah. Get wherever you want. Stand close, whatever you feel comfortable with, just so they can hear you online.
News. Because there were good news. The financial news, I mean.
Yeah.
So about the Greek program. The Greek department is fully staffed as expected. We had internal moves between buildings and between programs. We have 5 new to Odyssey experienced teachers from Greece, and 3 new to Odyssey local experienced Greek language and math and Greek teachers. We are working also on continuing our collaboration between our students and the Pierce American College of Athens and the American Farm School in Thessaloniki. More news about this is the beginning of the year, so I don't have specifically about the project and what we are going to work on, but I know that we're going to work together.
Okay.
have we collaborated with them in the past?
Yes.
What type of projects have we done with them?
So we have, let's say last year, we had pairs of middle schoolers, oldest middle schoolers, and Latinians and from the Salonique middle schoolers, and they worked together. The first phase was to get to know each other. So we used platforms online, and they introduced themselves in Greek and English from the Greek students in English. And the exchange, you know, between languages, they would play between Code, Greek, and English. And then they had projects about, it was about the Greek National, the Independence Day on March. How do we celebrate here and how they celebrate in Athens, in Thessaloniki. So it was mostly cultural projects between students. This year, we are planning new collaborations with the Greek publishing house of Patakis. Patakis is one of the biggest, probably, it is the biggest publishing house in Greece for kids books and young adult books. So our aim is to offer our students opportunities to read more books in Greek, but also to get to know Greek writers. So we are planning to have Zoom events between our students and Greek writers from Greece. We are planning to start our monthly immersion meeting. Maybe next month we need to discuss about that. So more, we will send out an announcement about specific details when we're going to start our meeting. Also, we are in discussions with our teachers and also members of the community in order to offer more clubs across grades. So the aim, our aim is to offer at least one Greek culture-oriented club by building. So one high school, middle school, intermediate, and law school. More information you will see in the next Department of Communication. And finally, I would like to share tonight with the community the results from the Greek language exam that the Greek state organizes every year. Many people know the exam as Ellinomachia, but we have many new families at Odyssey that don't know what Ellinomachia is. So Ellinomachia is an exam that assess the language proficiency of our students in Greek language. And it's organized by the Greek state and the University of Thessaloniki. So tonight I would like to share the names of our 25 students who were successful this year. We took Ellinomachia in May. So we have different levels of Ellinomachia. We have 6 levels in total, depending on how hard the exam is and how well our students speak and understand it. So we have the AE1 junior level. Junior level is for students between 8 and 12 years old. So their names are, and please applaud quietly for each one of them. We're very proud for each one of them. So for Tluri Prathik Sai, Adeyanju Abigail, Kodipili Instasia, Mendoza Camila, Valagorusani Sivakamu, Thomas Aaron, Bandi Tandi, Sasikumar Emana, Walcott John, Irakanan Kani, Shai Jasmine, Tarimela Kadia, Manley Bridget, Narsangani Riti, and Korijan Sean.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. We have three more A1 level, but not the junior level now. Not junior level, so they're older, more than 12 years old. Paul Angelo, Patel Rashil, and Mergu Samaniniu. And now we pass to the A2 level, so it's harder, the exam is harder. We have 2 students, Kranidioti Isidora and Kalambakis Konstantinos. Then now we pass to the B1 level. We have 3 students here, Kranidiotis Simeon, Bonivelli Panagiota, and Walter Thomas. We have one in each level, becoming more and more challenging. So B2 level for Marcos Papadopoulos. And C1 for his sister, Nikki Papadopoulos. So C1 is and I would like, as a department, as well as the school, to have an honorable mention to our two recipients of the certificate of multi-literacy, so bi-literacy, Greek and English, to Bonifeli Panagiota and Walter Thomas. Finally, I would like really to express our gratitude to our teachers who taught these extraordinary students. So, Halia Tsouka, Eva Giannelli, Anna Stupaiki, Sofia Vlastarindou, Georgia Nicolaou, Kiriakou Lamita, who is our Elena Mafia coordinator. Thank you so much.
Now, is that the largest group that has taken the Elena Mafia?
I think so, yes. This year, this May, we had the largest group from Odyssey.
Yeah.
Because we had many candidates from the community as well.
Yes. Maybe on my sixth grade school. Level.
Yeah, it was very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
Are we having some sort of ceremony for those?
Yeah, I think we need to have
yes. We don't have their certificate yet. We are getting from Greece to receive them, but yes, we're going to start the night ceremony.
It'd be nice to go ahead and to like a board meeting and let their faces be shown. I would love to see.
Okay. We can do that.
Yeah. We'll have a party.
We'll have a party.
Yes.
I mean, something so that they can be acknowledged.
Yes.
Around. I might embarrass them, but a picture in the building, like,
they deserve to be
dressed. Yeah, obviously. We had a nice ceremony last year for our October because last year we had two exams. We had a ceremony in the lobby in middle school.
Oh,
but yes, we can bring them also. Awesome.
Wonderful. Great job.
Thank you.
Moving on, let's see, are we back to our financial? Back to you, Jeff.
Good evening. I am going to try to be brief since we went over some of that stuff in the financial audit. I want to give a quick shout out to sort of the unsung heroes at Odyssey Charter, and that's the staff of the business office. You know, 3 straight years of clean audits, that's not just me, that's not just the administration, that takes a team, and we have a really great one here, so shout out to them. We are going to be reviewing the monthly report for August 2022. August 31st, 2022 represents 2 months or 17% of the fiscal year. Revenues collected to date are $22.4 million or 54.2% of the budget. Local revenue from the district should be funded at 35% in September, and then a final load in December and January once the unit count's complete and that accounting is completed to follow it. Revenues during August were as expected, which included the final income of rent from the tenant here at the Barley Mill campus. Expenditures to date are $8.1 million and encumbrances of $322,000, which represents 25% of the budget, which aligns with the ebbs and flows of the fiscal year. As we talked about in July, we paid our $2.7 million debt payment, as well as a lot of the other instructional supplies that are ordered, as well as Chromebooks and things of that nature earlier in the fiscal year. The consolidated grant voluntary submission has been completed with the funds likely to be loaded in late September and recodes and reallocations to follow. Mr. Pappas spoke about the $750,000 charter school program grant, which will be funded on October 1st. On transportation, 2 additional contracted routes have been formalized for a neighboring charter school, which will result in approximately $160,000 of gross revenue over the course of the school year. As we've discussed, the Under the Stars fundraiser on September 10th was a large success. There are approximately 90 attendees, including Newcastle County Executive Matt Meyer and State Representative Mike Smith. The estimated net income from the event is anticipated to be between $14,000 and $15,000 once all the bills are paid and the checks have been cleared. So big thanks to everyone in this room and this community that made that event a great success and who donated. To date, $405,000 of expenses have been coded to federal funds out of the preliminarily budgeted $1.8 million, and projections of final cash balance will take place after the additional data is able to be gathered and provided, unit count, staff stabilization, et cetera. And on the screen is the monthly web report for approval.
Anyone have any questions?
I move we accept and publish the web report as presented. Thank
you. One second. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Any objections? Motion passed. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you.
As far as committee reports, I'm just going to ask if anyone has anything that they want to present. I'm not going to go through each of them. I know the CBOC did not meet. Has anyone started meeting yet? Diversity, equity, inclusion. I know Immersion hasn't yet. Fundraising. Georgia, did you want to say anything? I don't know if you had anything. They briefly said something about the event. Finance. So if anyone wants to say anything about any of their committees, please speak up.
I would just say for the accountability committee, I know we talked last time about sort of the intent on staffing it. We're meeting, I think, a small group, not a full committee, to think more about roles and responsibilities. We'd love to have parent, teacher, staff involvement as well. Part of what we're doing at the board level is thinking through what in what capacity different groups of stakeholders are able to be involved and what sort of information we can make available and what we can't from a confidentiality purpose. We do have, we don't have a date yet, but we are planning to start having at least a couple more board members on site during the school day with some degree of frequency. So if folks want to stop by and either share ideas or questions or things like that, that we'll have some folks here at school to meet with people. So more to come there from dates and times, and who will be here. But I guess more to come in general on the accountability committee as well.
More to come. Thank you, Erin. Anyone else want to offer? Like I said, finance, anything else? We have plenty on finance.
I don't have anything specific, but just in general, I think if we could be mindful about our committees or council meetings meeting A, during the school day and during normal parent working hours, because I feel like that limits people's ability to be a part of and have their voice heard. So some of them are offered like during the school day when staff can't participate, or you know, parents who also work in other neighboring districts. I've gotten that feedback.
Thank you. I don't see Kaya on for a PTO report. Does anyone else have anything to offer for the PTO? I saw that they're having their bag bingo on November 12th at the Holy Trinity Church Hall.
October 7th, they have the Under the Stars movie night, the sleepover.
Camp out. October 7th, they have a camp out, okay.
What's the movie?
I think they were voting it or something. I don't know. Okay. I saw Cold War.
But I don't know if it's been.
Okay.
There's the one thing I read through, I couldn't find. What's the movie?
That's a good
one. It is. I think it's awesome. It's a democratic choice to decide what movie.
So if anybody else has anything to offer from the PTO? Okay. New business. We had the code of conduct that we were reviewing. Did anyone have any questions? Do we want to discuss any of the code of conduct that was presented? We all have a chance to review it.
Have any? I would abstain. I'm sorry. I have no chance.
I honestly didn't have a chance to read it.
Can we have one more? How about 2 weeks? We can mail it. Yeah, sure. I think we are.
I think we should.
Yes, we want to follow up. Can we give you an answer in 2 weeks?
We'll do our homework and be ready.
Okay. And this has been approved, it's been reviewed and approved by Jim Taylor and what did you say?
Staff.
Mike staff. Now, as far as the FOIA is concerned, I believe we've already voted on that. So we were going to, I think Jeff has been working on submitting a new one, but I don't think we need to do that.
I think I found it on the website too.
Yeah, the problem is we need to make it what we have. Our FOIA submission is on the website. I couldn't find it. So we were going to mimic another school that was recommended by Jim Taylor, but the one that we have on our website is very close to the one that we found. So we don't have to do anything with that. We just, once we revamp our website, we need to make that more visible. So if anyone does want to make a FOIA request, they will know how to find it instead of trying to scramble through it. Is there any other new business that I don't know about? Any other new business? Go to the school.
For the good of the school, piggybacking off of the financial report, we received this afternoon our organizational framework scores for the school, which include the educational program, mission fidelity, applicable state and federal requirements, students with disabilities, English language learners, governance and reporting, student rights and requirements for teacher certification and hiring. Facilities, transportation, health, and safety. And I'm very proud to report that Odyssey Charter School received 100% score on all categories. I'd like to definitely shout out everyone for working hard to do this. I'd like to give especially strong shout out to Dr. DeMeo for getting that students with disabilities number up to 100%. Well done.
Thank you. So can you explain a little bit what exactly is that?
That's the governance oversight that comes from the state. It's a published number. It goes into our an annual report every year, and you get scored points for different factors like the educational program, the governance and reporting. We had a slip up on governance and reporting last year with respect, if you recall, to our board meeting minutes or something like that.
Oh, yeah, not being postings
or something like that. So all of that has been cleaned up, and we have 100% on
every network. Excellent. Great work.
First time ever.
I think it's the first time ever.
Well, thank you. Anyone else for the school?
I think this fits good at the school. I actually would like to step back as treasurer and nominate Alan after missing another executive call this morning. She's made more of the calls than I have, and I think she would give it the time that it deserves. Apologize for accepting without thinking through that I would look for the commitment, but if she's willing to accept, I would like to nominate her. Any objections or questions?
Well, let me first open up nominations for that. And I guess we'll have to. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that something that you would? I would do it. I don't have a problem here to help do what I need to do.
To that point, is there anyone else on the board who would want to be, open it up?
Yeah.
To
be, I didn't mean to just
everybody here. Just say, sure I don't know if we have quorum to we'll do it for them, but I wonder, I should probably open it up. Like for a meeting in 2 weeks, so that like is Kristen Turner. I'm just wondering if we're missing a couple of people. Like,
okay,
let's post it, and we know Helen's interested, so that's always good that we have someone who's interested, and so we always give everyone an opportunity if there is anyone who wants to run. We know if we have a runoff, which we won't. at least we will have everyone be aware that that you're resigning and that that we're going to be moving that position again.
And it's just your treasurer position. You're still stuck with the board.
Yeah, we're not accepting that.
Yeah, just the the executive, unless there's another parent just clamoring to get on the board, then we can have a different discussion.
Thank you for your service. I think the other thing on the good of school is we're going to have another board meeting in 2 weeks. That'll be after the September 30th, so we have the head count. We can look at the students' services and see where we stand so that we make sure we're set for the school year. If there's any decisions that need to be made, any other actions or motions that need to happen in order to start October strong. We don't want to delay another month. We just try to have a relatively short one, 2 weeks, so we can get through anything. Give you guys a chance to get the data after the 30th, or is it the 3rd?
What's the
enrollment headcount? The 30th, that's Saturday, so it's the 3rd.
October 1st, I think, is the Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think we should look at the date because that puts us at the second week of October, which is like one of the weirdest dates on the calendar. We have Wednesday off for Yom Kippur, and then there's no students at Thursday and Friday. There's teacher professional development.
And there's also an open house. And
it's just a weird week
to figure that out.
So potentially either moving it like either in 3 weeks and or potentially looking at that Monday, Tuesday when school's fully in session at all that week.
So we'll post it as quickly as we can.
Yeah, we'll just want to just look at the data, just make sure we have everything in line, make sure that we're not missing anything. I think that that's a wrap. Do we have anything else? Do we have a motion?
Do we need to executive session?
No.
I think
that's
good.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. I move we close the meeting.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you all for attending.
To go watch some soccer.
There you go.